This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, SiriusXM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin.
Let's go. Happy Friday.
In the house on this Friday. Not just any kind of Friday. It's a Fezzik Friday.
That's right.
As we like to call it around here. Steve Fezzik will join us later in the show. If crack is unscripted, which he is, Fezzik is scripted. The man has a lot on his mind, so he writes it down before the show. So we're like, all right, we'll talk about all that, Stevie. Yep. We'll get to it. Fezzik's got stuff to say. Good stuff, bad stuff, you know, in between stuff. Whatever's on his mind, we'll get to it. Also in the second hour, because we have Stevie on for the first three segments of the final hour. Mm-hmm. But we have a special treat this morning because Ian Ritchie is going to join us this morning as well, Kelly. Mm-hmm. Ian Ritchie was the first to sign up for Circa Grandissimo last year. He will also be the first to sign up for this year, Circa Grandissimo, $4 million guarantee. It's a $100,000 entry, Circa Grandissimo. Which is Survivor on Crack, basically.
Yeah.
Survivor on Crack is a subtitle. And Ian has an amazing story that actually traces all the way back to 9/11, America's darkest day, but sort of sent him on a path in life. So we'll get into that with him. That's all in the final hour. Phil Bobbitt will be here by popular demand today. This is obviously a huge racing weekend with three big races, NASCAR, F1 at Montreal, Indy 500, of course. And this just coincidentally, right, the day after Kyle Busch passes away suddenly at the age of 41. Kyle Busch, who won more races across the Sports 3 National Series than any driver in history, passing away yesterday. Just a shocking death after complaining about feeling ill within the last 10 days. And we don't, you know, Kelly, no secret, you and I don't really focus on NASCAR here, but we used to on this show, pre-Kelly Billy days. Back in the day, I used to have Jeff Coleander on to do NASCAR segments every week, and this was around, I don't know, before the pandemic, and in those days, every week that he would come on, we used to joke about it. It's like, well, who's going to win this week, Jeff? Is it going to be Martin Truex Jr., Kevin Harvick, or Kyle Busch? I guess there were some Joey Logano's thrown in there every once in a while.
But one of the biggest names in the sport, for sure.
Yeah, and so for, you know, a span of a couple years, Kyle Busch was all over this show and obviously a Hall of Fame driver. And so we'll get Phil to, and what I'm getting at is we'll get Phil to give him the proper tribute in a way that neither you or I could. We'll do that later. Chris Felica will be joining us as well. The Bear, he's got a bunch of World Cup picks. He's diving full steam into the World Cup today. We will get some thoughts on that. And I guess some NFL, as they see on the board here. I didn't know he had some NFL. We'll talk some NFL.
Two win totals he sent us, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll do a bunch of World Cup and our football, if you will. The National Football League. Paul Carr on the Prem as well. And I believe he has an additional World Cup play. As a special numbers game investigation reveals that the World Cup is mere 20 days away.
So we're bringing soccer to the U.S., Gil, and we're sending the NFL overseas.
Well, that's Roger Goodell's plan anyway, on the backside.
Yeah. Keep American football in America.
that's
my platform, man. That's what I'm running on.
The theme of the show today. Keep American football in America. Okay. Last night, National Basketball Association and hockey. First of all, Kelly's, let me just say this hockey briefly, because I paid a little tribute to the Vegas Golden Knights yesterday.
Dude.
Kelly's Carolina Hurricanes, Colorado Avalanche collision course.
On the ropes.
The hockey playoffs have reared its head. What's the stat that I've probably quoted the most in the history of this show?
Stats by Lopez.
Michael Lopez, by the way, who will say even, I haven't up. He'll be the first to say, I haven't even updated these numbers, so I don't know if these are accurate anymore.
Kelly's just been saying the same thing for 5 years, but whatever.
But it drives home the point, which is, again, 80% of all NBA best of seven series, 80% the favorite manifests. Well, largely because it's so top-heavy in the NBA, the first round skews that. Hockey, the randomness of hockey is that for 80% of the favorites to get through in the NHL to best of seven series, you'd have to play best of 51.
Mm-hmm.
That's how random hockey is. And all of a sudden, at the wrong time for Kelly's bet, the Hurricanes-Avalanche matchup, The Vegas Golden Knights and the Canadiens said, hold up. Wait a minute. Canadiens, 4 goals in the first. The Hurricanes in the first 8 games of their postseason run here, and they were 8-0, 2 sweeps, had given up a total of 10 goals. Yesterday, they gave up 6.
Dude, I was outside grilling chicken. I had the game starting. I was grilling chicken right as the games were getting going.
That's what you decided to grill, like when you were making choices to grill?
Grilling up some chicken. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. There was 5 goals scored in the amount of time that it took me to grill chicken.
Wow.
Came back inside and it was 4-1.
Do I have that right? 10 goals over the first 8 games?
Yeah.
Gave up 6 yesterday. And remember, the Hurricanes were trying to match the 1985 Edmonton Oilers for the longest winning streak to begin a postseason of 9. So the 85 Oilers, a la 72 Dolphins, I know it's not quite the same thing, pop the champagne. If Chris Berman were here, he would do that.
It's okay. Get all those goals out of the way now, Montreal. Get them out of the way.
You imagine what all said and done if it's the Canadiens, who, again, a Canadian team has not won a cup since 1993 when it was the Montreal Canadiens, and the Vegas Golden Knights trying to get to their third Stanley Cup final in 9 seasons of existence.
And then obviously, if that's the matchup, VGK wins just to extend the pain of Canada and the ridiculousness of the Golden Knights start to their franchise.
If the Canadiens get to the final, we are having Todd Wright on the show so he could just go crazy.
It sounds like a plan.
He has it in for Canada and Stanley Cup. The NBA last night, of all the conference final games, this was the first one that was kind of like ho-hum.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of ho-hummish after those first amazing game ones in both the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference. And then Thunder got on the board yesterday to tie up the series with the Spurs in the West. Well, yesterday, Knicks up 1-0 on the Cavs. Knicks led 5-0. Cavs led by as many as 6 in the first quarter, 27-24. Cleveland end first quarter. Lead never got higher than 3 for the Cavs and 5 for the Knicks in the second quarter. Knicks did go up by 6, 53-47 with 30 seconds left in the second quarter. But they led by 4 at the half. And the Cavs scored the first four points of the third quarter, so it was 53-53. And this is really the point in the game, is really all you had to tune in for.
Yeah.
It's 53-53, and the Knicks go on an 18-0 run. That's the ball game. It really was. 71-53 all of a sudden. They led by 15 after 3. And even though the Cavs scored the first 7 points of the fourth quarter to cut it to 85-78, the Knicks would then go on a 20-8 run from there to get it to their biggest lead of 19. They win 109-93. Spider Mitchell, 26 points in defeat. Jared Allen, 13-10. Evan Mobley, 14 points, but not only not a single point in the second half, not a single shot in the second half for Evan Mobley. Josh Hart for the winning Knicks, who go up 2-0 in the best of 7 Eastern Conference Finals. 26 points, his playoff career high. Brunson, who obviously the Cavs were keying on, 19 points. And he's like, oh, you're going to key on me? Watch this. 14 assists.
Yeah.
Cat, 18 points, 13 boards. Donovan Mitchell had a post-game presser, which we've said on this show. I've said on this show many times through the years that sometimes basketball can be a very simple game. I say this baloncesto can be a very simple game, which mm-hmm. is you just have to put the orange sphere through the orange cylinder.
Mm-hmm.
You really do. And the Cavs shot 31 of 80 from the field, 38.8%. Yeah. And Donovan Mitchell, basically his entire post-game presser was, you know what, we got our looks. We got all the looks we want. The ball just didn't go in.
Yep.
That was his take.
That's a lot of what it was, man. You don't want to oversimplify, but this is what can happen in 7-game series sometimes, and it's what makes game one so bad, right?
Because that's such a great point.
Because games like this are going to happen, and you have to be okay with it, right? They didn't shoot well at all. 39% from field, 26% from three. Like, okay, occasionally that's going to happen, and that sucks. And you got combined with that, it was the Josh Hart game. Josh Hart goes for 26. How many times is that going to happen in a 7-game series? You're going to think not often, and you're going to think you're not going to shoot that poorly that often, but that's what makes that game so bad.
You're up 22 with under 8 minutes to play in game one, and the Knicks go on a 44-11 just romping down mm-hmm. the stretch and into overtime. That's right. I mean, if the Knicks win this series, and they're up 2-0, if they win, game one will always be the reason.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what.
You know, respect to the Knicks. They continue to play great ball, right? And this Cavs team, man. the playoffs. They are 8-8. They are 500 in the playoffs.
That's
how this works when you go 7-6.
Your Cleveland Cavaliers. Josh Hart apparently went in on analytics after the game.
Oh, this is great. I don't know. Do we have time for it here, Danny? We do? Okay, yeah. Just Josh Hart talking about analytics after the game, yeah.
You know, I just try to go out there and just play my game. I'm never a huge analytics guy. You know, at a certain point, they're a lamppost to a drunk person. You can lean on them, but it won't get you home. So at a certain point, you got to have a good feel for the game.
Well, let me just point out that Josh Hart attended Sidwell Friends High School, not St. Albans or Landon.
So great.
A little all-boys school hierarchy, academics-wise in D.C. for everybody scoring at home. I'm so tired of this hack. People, listen, Josh Hart, love you. Great game. Good for you. How many championships you win again? Oh, that's right. I'm just saying, the people, anyone who's anti-analytics are people who are too lazy or too dumb to understand analytics, so it makes them feel better about not embracing analytics. And the people who probably watch more basketball or more football or whatever sport than anyone are the people who embrace analytics. So it's only the people who do not embrace them that are like, oh, those people are just nerds. They don't watch the games. Just can everybody shut up with that? It's just the inability to hold two thoughts in our heads at the same time is so trite.
It's a Jay Wright quote he was borrowing, apparently. It's a Jay Wright quote. Anthony Towns could. He was laughing his ass off after that. He's like, where'd you get that from?
Carl is easily amused.
Yeah.
Jay Wright has won a couple championships, though. I should point that out. Knicks up 2-0, best of 7 series in the Eastern Conference. Coming back, we'll talk Spurs, Thunder, and more. It's a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. You're here because you want an edge. That's what separates listeners from winners. But let's be real, mindset alone doesn't get bets home. Pros win because they've got the tools, the data, and the discipline. And now so can you. Visa Pro gives you access to the same real-time insights the sharps use. No secrets, no fluff, just actionable info that moves markets. Tap the link and see why serious bettors are turning knowledge into profit with Visa Pro.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
20 leagues, one mission. Just Win Bets, baby. Your premier source for daily sports betting picks. They break down the data so you can bet with confidence across the entire sports calendar. Scan the QR code or visit justwinbetsbaby.com today and start betting smarter with Just Win Bets, baby. The name says it all. Recent guest, Kelly Bidlin, on the show.
Oh, that was like ages ago at this point. I can't even imagine who else these guys
have
had.
They have an archive, man.
Danny Higgins has been on.
Danny Higgins has been on.
Higgins is on there. He was on after me.
Scan the QR code on the screen for more. We get tweets beating the book. We got a whole half hour and hadn't read a tweet. What, do I know how the show works?
I listened to Wyatt's segment with him. I did not listen to Danny's. What if Danny just buries us the whole time? He might be.
Oh, that's true. He might do that.
He could.
Rob L., RLAP 311. Are we going to get a handicap of the Weenie 500 in Indianapolis today? Oh, from Phil Bobbitt. I don't know if he has a handicap of the Weenie 500.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember you guys helping me find out about this like a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I knew about it before then.
Roger Jones. Today, Pablo Torre fired a few strays at your old pal Michael Lombardi. Oh, why are you telling me that? Why would you mention that to me? I'm sure Lombardi's got it all figured out. Shrek McPhee. If you want a good laugh, Gil, go check out the responses to the England World Cup squad being announced. Auto fade. P.S. I'm still free for a World Cup megapod. Oh, we got to ask Paul about that.
Yeah, what happened? England's not bringing their stars or something? No way.
I don't know. Joseph Frieda. We're having Ian Ritchie on the show later, the first person to sign up for Grandissimo last year and this year. Joseph Frieda says, hope Ian gets an extra hat for entering Grandissimo first. That'll be my first question. No Emu Doug. Floyd R. Turbo American. Do we know what that's a reference to? I don't. Chris Heath, some guy named Kelly Bidelon came on the show before this, and he was not giving out hockey picks. You were on By the Books, no hockey picks? They didn't ask you for hockey picks?
Shocker, I know, right?
Wow. Real Knicks, you guys unlocked a whole new betting market this morning, point totals, while Kelly's grilling chicken. Tonight I'll take under tonight I'll take under 10.5 OKC San Antonio before Kelly is done grilling. TDG at Totally Driven. In my opinion, the best sports bettors use analytics as their foundation and blend it with their eyes and brain. TDG, I completely agree with you. Las Vegas 514, yo, shots fired to all the elite private schools in the DMV. Don't forget Georgetown Prep. Yeah, little Owen went there. Gonzaga, Bullis. Man, Bullis got his heavily funded. Holton Arms, sister school. And DeMatha, the domain of the great Morgan Wooten. Once a bear, always a bear. That's what Las Vegas 514 says. B. Earl Nelson, PGA Radio is projecting the cut line today at -7. Oh, man, this tournament.
Yeah, a lot of renovations to make it tougher, Gil. How's it working out?
First round leader was 9-under.
Taylor Moore, 9-under par, is currently 10-under over Kensei Hirata.
On pace to try to get to 40. And then J-Rod, potty mouth Friday, only missing Toddy, taking another shot at Fez. Yeah, Fez has some things to say about Todd today. We'll find out if they're good or bad. Paul Carr joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R. He's at True Media Networks. He has a really long title that I am always blocked from. I'm always obstructed view with a camera here, but you'll see it on the screen. Paul Carr joins us now from the heartland with a World Cup 20 days away. What's happening, Paul?
Senior Director of Stuff, Media, I don't know. Whatever.
Stuff.
Just go with it.
Go with
I like Czar. Why did we go away from Czar?
Czar is good. It's a little Russian sounding. I don't know how I feel about that, but I like it.
If it were German sounding, he'd love it.
That's right.
He'd be all over it. He's like, oh, I'm all about that, given his history of picks. All right, before we let's crescendo to the World Cup. Let's get right into the Prem. Are we still on it? How we do on the two plays the other day?
Let's see. Midweek, we did not do well. We lost both of those the other day.
Lost both of those. We were on a 2-1 streak.
I think I had the handicap right. Results didn't go our way, though.
Okay. Sunday, a trio of games in the Prem. What do you have?
This is it. Yeah. Last day of the season. Here we go. You kind of almost just throw the numbers out the window here because, you know, who's already on the beach? Like, there's some players who have already left for their World Cup teams because they're or maybe slightly injured, not going to play, whatever. So we'll start with Bournemouth. I'm taking Bournemouth to win at Nottingham Forest. The motivation here is that Villa could make Champions League. There's a couple things that need to go their way, like Aston Villa has to lose, Liverpool has to win, but both those look kind of likely. A draw might be enough for Bournemouth, but a win would put them in much better shape. So I'm taking them just to win at Nottingham Forest. They've been playing as well as anybody in the Premier League, really all of 2026. Forest is in 16th. They are safe. They have nothing to play for. Bournemouth has just looked really good, like top three, top four team in the Premier League the last few months that haven't lost since, I forget, January 3rd or something like that. So I'm taking Bournemouth just to win this one. Here's the old better team option at +110 on the road.
Okay, and then Tottenham and Everton, a total under 2.5 goals.
Yep, this is the relegation battle. So the biggest drama here on the last day is Tottenham and West Ham battling to stay in the Premier League. One of these two teams is going down. And coming into this match, Tottenham has a 2-point lead on West Ham. So all Tottenham needs is a draw, assuming West Ham doesn't win by a dozen goals.
We'll call that
unlikely. So Tottenham just needs a draw. So I think they may just kind of putz around here. Everton's in 12th. They don't really have anything to play for other than maybe trying to win to cash my top half bet, but I don't think they're interested in that. So I think Tottenham's going to keep this conservative because, again, a draw is going to be enough. They go up 1-0. They are going to shut it down completely. Everton, I don't think, has a whole lot of interest in this game. So under 2.5 goals, +110 in Tottenham, Everton.
I like that. So again, what Paul's referring to, Tottenham in 17th place, West Ham in 18th of the 20-side Premier table. Yep. Bottom three get relegated. Spurs with 38, West Ham with 36. But if a tie goes to goal differential, Tottenham -10, West Ham -22. Thus the quip about they'd have to win by a dozen goals. I believe it would be, yes. A dozen or more,
yes.
Or 13.
Yes.
I'm in for that soccer match.
Yeah. On the other hand, though, you're playing West Ham because they obviously have to win.
Right. They have to win to have any shot of staying up. So that's your very simple handicap motivation, whatever. So I have them to win at -110. But the other factor here is Leeds is missing a ton of injured players, like almost a whole lineup of players. And with nothing to play for and several of those guys kind of World Cup possibilities, there's no way that a lot of those guys are going to play. So it's West Ham against essentially Leeds' second string. West Ham is at home. I have Dr. Bob's quote in the back of my head about how if you must win, you must not be very good. And mm-hmm. that does bother me a little bit. But I think given the opposition, particularly here, I will take West Ham to win, getting close to even money.
Love Leeds accent, though. For ranking accents in
oh, really?
The Leeds accent is fantastic.
I can't do it. But
yeah, I can't either. Dave Kellner used to have, we have that. We would talk soccer with him back in the day. In American football. He was the guy that said famously to me on a football podcast, he goes, Tony Romo's performance has been, how can I put this, lamentable. I used to love doing those football podcasts with guys from England. Okay, and you're also sweating out some season longs here?
Yep. Mentioned the Everton top half, plus 210. They're in 12th, so they have to win and get help. It looked like a lock about a month ago, and they've gone winless in five or six games since then, so that fizzled out a little bit. And Burnley, I had Burnley last place at plus 160. So really, this is the big one. Burnley's playing Wolverhampton over the weekend. Wolverhampton's in last, but if Wolverhampton wins, then Burnley will drop down to last place, and I'll cash that ticket. So we'll see.
I'm sure they're all well aware that this is what's on the line. Yeah.
Put some feelers out there, yeah.
Okay, World Cup, I always ask you now, 20 days away, have you added stuff? And your answer was yes. As a matter of fact, I have.
Yeah, the upside and downside of having like a six-month run-up is I'm going to end up with bets on like everything.
It's so true.
For better or worse.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's like it's only like once a week. I'll be like, oh, here's a good line, or I like this. And, but, you know, there's 6 months to do that, and suddenly I've got 82 bets on the World Cup and it hasn't started yet. But one I still like, Colombia to win Group K, plus 250. So the only real other contender in this group is Portugal. And I think Colombia is, you know, Portugal's better overall, more talented, but Colombia played really well in qualifying. The other thing is they will meet in the third group game after presumably they both win their first two. And that game is in Miami. That is going to be maybe the biggest party of the entire World Cup. And it will be a heavily Colombia crowd, or a heavy Colombia crowd. So that factors in too. But I think Colombia is just really good. They've got a lot of different attackers led by Luis Diaz from Bayern Munich. And again, look good in qualifying. Defense has played well. So I think they're a dark horse to make a deep run. And at plus 250, I've played them to win that group.
Played them to win that group. Group K, by the way, which always startles me when I say, we go to L this year.
It's so dumb. It's so dumb.
You think we'll get past L one year? Maybe we will.
I assume they'll just expand to 64 in a couple tournaments.
Yeah. Okay, so that is Colombia to win Group K plus 250. What about, you also brought up something. Why do South American teams, I remember you saying this, why in general do they do so well?
I mean, so only one European team has ever won a World Cup in the Americas. That was Germany in 2014. I mean, part of it is the climate. Because, you know, it's very hot here, breaking news, in the summer. Some of these games are going to be played in Dallas and Houston in July.
Man.
So that's going to be a challenge. And I think, so that's a lot of it, is they're just more used to some of the travel, the weather. I think they're going to have better support on the whole. These South American fans will travel. So that's part of it. It's maybe a little mitigated by the fact that a lot of these players do play in Europe, even the South Americans. But I still think that they're, in general, South American teams underrated when it comes to the odds for the World Cup.
I'm getting pumped.
Me too.
20 days to ratchet it up. Paul, thank you so much. Appreciate it.
You bet.
Paul Carr, everybody. Trio of picks in the Prem as the Prem closes out. And one more World Cup play to boot. Coming back with some French Open quarter talk next on A Numbers Game right here at VSiN.
This is VSiN, the sports betting network.
Numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland alongside. Still to come, Chris Velika, the Bear, standing by to talk soccer and NFL with us. And Fezzik Fridays. Stevie Fezzik, everything on his mind. From a sports betting perspective and beyond, and not to mention in between, I should not minimize, Phil Bobbitt will join us.
That's right.
Speedway Steve, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to join us to talk not one, not two, but three races. The F1 race in Montreal, of course the Indy 500, and the Coca-Cola 500. NASCAR
600.
Races. Was 600, did I say 500? 600, yep. Pardon me. I don't want to shortchange.
It's the big one.
What a racing weekend. It's become a little bit of a numbers game tradition to have Phil on this weekend. Memorial Day weekend. Mm-hmm. As far as our tennis bets, by the way, Lerner Tien won the first set against Alexander Bublik. They are on serve. Tien broke back, so they're on serve in the second. Tien versus Bublik. We have Tien as a short dog. Tommy Paul, short dog a little later on. Real quick, non-sports related thing. You know what's on? You know what's coming up on TV before the World Cup?
No.
You know what's? I want to just no, not the Summer House reunion. I know everybody's excited about the Summer House reunion. No more than Kelly Bidlin. That's next week. That's on Tuesday.
Yeah,
you don't want to miss that.
Yeah,
Amanda, Sierra, West. You know all about it.
The tape's in the VCR, ready to record.
I'm referring to the Earth, Wind, and Fire documentary on June 7th on HBO Max.
Well, I'll add it to the list, Gil.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. To Be Celestial versus That's the Weight of the World. That's a long title.
Yeah.
Questlove did this one. Earth, Wind, and Fire, with apologies to the Beatles, the greatest band of all time.
Mm.
June 7th, HBO Max. For those listening to this show, and you know who you are, June 7th, we'll all convene. Chris Velika joins us now. He knows a thing or two about music. He knows a thing or two about the World Cup as well. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He is the bear, for God's sakes. The emperor of the Bear Bets Pod Empire over at Fox Sports, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line right now, at Chris Velika, F-A-L-L-I-C-A, on Twitter. Chris, good morning, sir.
It's more like a fiefdom, not a not an empire, that's for sure.
That's very
But
modest.
I appreciate the,
yeah.
the kind words. So what I took from that intro was that Fez is going to be on for the interview about the F1 race this weekend.
Fez
full
does.
Breakdown.
Fez has a full thing to say about the F1 series being extended here in Las Vegas to through 2037. That's on his mind for sure.
Does he want to take my second segment here to make sure he has enough time to be able to get into all of that?
He might, but Phil's in between, so he can't do it.
Did we ever ask Fez about last year though? Because didn't me and you just agree it was not nearly as bad?
Like, Fezzik agreed that it was not as bad. You know what I like the latest numbers game trend is guests bartering their segments back and forth with each other. Todd is like, I want another one. We're like, no, we can't do that. Chris is giving him.
Todd needs two segments. I want to say that right now on air to you and Kelly in person. Wishnev Wednesdays is in demand and commands two segments.
The only problem with that is if we do that, Todd immediately makes salary demands. It's a problem. Right, he's immediately like, "I'm gonna need." Right, and you're like, "Oh, for God's sake,
can't let that get around to other guests." You know?
No, I'm just saying, he makes demands out of nowhere. It's like, what are you doing? So, okay, before we talk about soccer and football, the Preakness, your horse finished second. Is that correct?
Yes.
Oh,
yeah,
God.
Iron Honor, and that's what sucks about the one thing I cannot stand about. Handicapping a race, like the one thing I was sure about was that Iron Honor was going to run his race. Mm-hmm. And then when I did the show with Dustin and Kelly last Friday, none of the head-to-head matchups were up, so I couldn't give it. And then finally Saturday they got posted and you had the two Iron Honor ones wound up winning. So I was like, Iron Honor is going to run well. And I still couldn't cash the exact or the try because I couldn't get to Napoleon Solo. And that's what really irks me as a horse player when you've got a favorite in there. Like I knew was a beatable favorite, and you knew you had some shorter prices that you didn't necessarily like. Taj Mahal I didn't like at all, and it was like to win, and you still couldn't get to cash a nice ticket. That's what irked me the most about. Fortunately, unlike the Derby, I did cash the head-to-head, so it wasn't a complete debacle.
And I can vouch for you that you did, and of course, because it's not on air the day before, they're not available, people are like, oh, of course you did. Well, I can tell you he did.
Exactly.
He hit all of them on Iron Honor, which, once again, you want to say five times quickly? Iron Honor?
No, okay. I'm good. Okay. Iron Honor.
It's like it's like Bob Loblaw on 30 Rock. Bob Loblaw. Okay. Real quick, though, before then. Belmont, preliminary thoughts on the Belmont?
It's going to be a great race because you're going to have Golden Tempo back. You're going to have Renegade back. You're going to have Commandment. You're going to have Chief Wallaby. You're going to have Emerging Market. Like all of these horses that I liked in the Derby, Skip the Preakness, are going to run back in the Belmont. I could really see Renegade running a big race here back at Saratoga. I could see Emerging Market for Chad Brown also being a horse that might be a little bit overlooked because of the presence of all of the other ones. And make a big run. Remember, that was only his third start in the Derby. So now he's got a couple of more weeks. He's got 5 weeks off between races, and it's his fourth start now at a track that Chad Brown loves. I could see Emerging Market being a bit of an overlay and somebody I'll wind up landing on.
Would you like to say anything mean about Iga Świątek before we get to soccer, or the floor is yours?
No, I bet her at +275 to win Roland Garros. Smart and then, of course, she got the brutal draw.
Yeah, she did. Okay. I gave you the chance, and you didn't take it. I appreciate it.
No, not at all. No, I just like poking you for your affinity and love for Iga. I like her, but I hope she can get through. I have a nice size ticket on it.
I do, too. All right, World Cup, 20 days away. Now, mm-hmm. I know how much you love soccer. Chris Felica, for those who don't know, famously bet against the USA. What year was it? Who did you bet against?
1998.
Yeah.
When I know there were multiple. There was 98, and then there was 2010 when I bet against the U.S. When Landon Donovan scored that late goal, and then I bet Ghana against the U.S. in the knockout round as well, and Ghana got through. So yeah, Paul Carr was in the vicinity in the studio with the IBC in Johannesburg when both of those happened.
So the man
patriotism be damned.
That's right.
Come World Cup time. It's all about making money.
The man is objective. Let's start with the golden boot. Who did you land on?
I know Paul mentioned Orethabal, and I mentioned him as well earlier in the spring. And the prices are long gone. Someone who I'd look to take a little bit of a shot at was Jeremy Doku from Belgium. He's 80-1. And Belgium to reach the quarterfinals at +200 is another bet that I really like. Doku has been on a tear lately for Manchester City, scored, I think, 4 times in his last 7 Prem games. They are a massive favorite to win their group against Egypt, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia. Like, they'll win that group. And that sets up a path for them where in their round of 32 game, they're going to get a third-place team who they, in theory, should beat. And then in the round of 16, you're going to get either another third-place team or the winner of that U.S.-Turkey-Paraguay group, which, again, they will be favored to win that match. So it creates a very doable path for them to get to the quarterfinal and for Doku potentially to play 6-7 games, maybe even 8 games. Now, he may not take penalties because Romelu Lukaku is still around, and we've been waiting for him to burst on the international scene and score all these goals in major tournaments forever. And maybe it's just not going to happen. And maybe this is the year where Doku kind of becomes the talisman for Belgium. So I thought maybe 80-1 was definitely worth a flyer compared to some of the other shorter prices out there and the potential path that Belgium have to make a deep run here.
I'm curious. Is our Lukaku 2022 golden boot bets, are those still alive? No?
Yes. Yeah, those prices carry over. 4 years.
How is he only 33 years old? Yeah. It does feel like he's been around for about 15 years now.
All right, so Jeremy Doku to win Golden Boot 80-1, Belgium to reach the quarters. What other sides you like to read to reach the quarters? What bets have you made there?
I mean, Spain is an easy and obvious one. -145 is the price that I and again, look around for your best prices. Here in Connecticut, I only have 2 legals, FanDuel and DraftKings. And not all of them post, for whatever reason, prices in certain markets. So I was only able to find -145 on Spain to reach the quarters. Now, they've got some injuries to deal with Lamine Yamal and Fermin Lopez. But they're still the best or co-best team in the world. They got walkovers against Saudi Arabia and Cape Verde in their first 2 group games. And then the third match against Uruguay will determine whether they win the group, whatever. And Uruguay certainly no lock to get past both of those teams either. But Spain should win the group. And there is a little bit of hesitancy because they could draw, but I heard Paul Carr earlier, they could draw that Colombia-Portugal second place in that group team in the round of 16. And that would certainly be an interesting round of 16 opponent. But I still think Spain is the likely side here to get through to the quarterfinal at a price. And then Portugal, the one team that I just mentioned, the +125. I know the match is going to be at Hard Rock in Miami, and it's going to be wild. Anyone who remembers Copa America from a couple of years ago can remember that Colombia-Argentina match and how wild that was. But the winner of that game there's no greater reward for anyone in the tournament than winning that group, and that likely means the winner of that Portugal Colombia game, because it means you get a third place team in the first knockout round, and then maybe a team like Switzerland in the round of 16, which gets you to the quarter. Now that we could all see them having one of those matches where you have like 30 shots and score once, and it's kind of up in the air. It's a little dicey, but that midfield is so good. I do think Portugal, Colombia. I do think Portugal, despite the party it's going to be in Miami, I do think Portugal will get through and ultimately get to the quarter.
All right, Chris Felica requests to pass over his second segment to Steve Fezzik is denied. He will come back. More World Cup plays at NFL with Chris next on another.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
Back on a numbers game, Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin. I just want to read this one tweet because it is the sort of natural way to segue into Phil Bobbitt, motorsports handicapper, staff writer for CBS Sportsline, who comes on this show every year. This is an annual tradition here on a numbers game on the Friday before Memorial Day because motorsports have a big weekend. But I owe ya, S69 tweeting, I was shocked with the news of Kyle Busch's passing. Yesterday, every sport has a quote-unquote villain. In my opinion, he embraced that role. Kyle Busch was the reason I watched NASCAR. Thoughts and prayers to his wife and children. As we talked about earlier on the show, Kyle Busch passing away at the age of 41. And again, Kelly and I don't talk NASCAR on a daily basis or on a weekly basis here on the show. But he, of course, was a two-time Cup Series champion and won more races across the sports three national series than any driver in history, dying at the age of 41. And so, Phil, I hate to introduce you this way, but obviously it's coincidental that you will happen to be on, and we figured it was better for you to pay tribute to Kyle than it would be for us. So good morning to you, and sorry to sort of meet under these circumstances.
Good morning, guys. It's always a pleasure to join on the show for this weekend of motorsport. But yesterday was just a brutal day for NASCAR. I spent last night writing about Kyle Busch, and it's hard to even put into words what he meant to the sport. He was one of the greatest drivers to ever sit behind the wheel of a stock car. He had two Cup championships, 63 Cup wins, 234 National Series wins overall. He was the all-time leader in the Truck Series, the all-time leader in the O'Reilly Series. And what's eerie is I was at Dover all last weekend, and that's where Kyle Busch won in the Truck Series on Friday night. Standing in victory lane afterwards, he said, "You never know when it's your last one." And now, a week later, we're talking about him in the past tense. Beyond the numbers, Kyle Busch was one of those larger-than-life figures that transcended the sport. Fans loved him, they hated him, or they spent 20 years yelling about him online, but everybody watched. To a younger generation of NASCAR fans, he became what Dale Earnhardt had been for the earlier generation. He was polarizing, aggressive, unavoidable. He was a true titan of the sport. And off the track, by all accounts, he was a devoted father, a great husband, and he did a lot of good through the Bundle of Joy Foundation, helping families with infertility. So it's just a massive loss for NASCAR.
Bill, we appreciate that. Kyle Busch passing away at the age of 41. Cause of death still not yet announced. Now, usually we'll do these races in sequential order, but because we just talked about Kyle Busch, let's talk about the Coca-Cola 600 first, which sequentially is the third chronologically of these races. You have a couple head-to-heads.
I do. Our favorite matchup on the board for the Coke 600 is Christopher Bell over Ryan Blaney. Betting against Ryan Blaney on an intermediate track feels like volunteering to fight a grizzly bear with a pool noodle. The guy is awesome. He's a past champion. But Christopher Bell and the Toyotas, they've been complete death machines on these mile-and-a-half tracks. They're hauling the mail. So since the beginning of 2025, Bell averages more laps led, more fast laps. He spends more time in the top 15. And our model projects him five finishing positions ahead of Blaney on average, which is huge. Also, this is the longest race of the year. It's 600 miles. Pit crews are a gigantic factor as well. And Bell's pit crew grades out nearly an entire standard deviation better than Ryan Blaney. So over the course of this long race, that can be an entire county worth of lost track position. So Bell is in the better car. He's got the better crew. let's back Christopher Bell.
Okay. And Bubba Wallace over Brad Keselowski.
Yeah. This is another Toyota angle. Bubba in the Toyota, Brad in the Ford. Toyota's just had a massive speed advantage over the Ford camp on these tracks and all year. Bubba's numbers on the comparable tracks are stronger than Brad's in average running position and top 15 percentage. So we're going with Bubba here at the short price, the minus 115.
All right. No outrights for you in the Coca-Cola 600?
If I had to, I would go with Ty Gibbs, 16-1, and Alex Bowman, 40-1, was flashing some value in our model. So those two guys you can go to war with.
All right. Phil Bobbitt, by the way, is who we're talking to, an annual tradition here on A Numbers Game. You can follow him on Twitter at SpeedwaySteve2. That's the number two. Let's talk F1. F1 Canada, it's in Montreal. My buddy in Florida was saying he was taking the family up there to go watch it. So people will travel for these events. How are you handicapping it?
Sure. This year, guys, we get kind of a treat. We're leaving Monaco behind, and we're going to a real racetrack where the drivers are allowed to pass each other. So it's been a bizarre season so far. There's been a lot of stopping and starting. This is only the fourth race of the year. The fifth race of the year. But we're going to go with George Russell with the outright victory, plus 225. He won here last year. The track historically suits the Mercedes really well, and the team's bringing a meaningful upgrade package. There's also a little bit of pressure building on him right now because his teammate, Kimi Antonelli, has won the last three races. And a veteran driver, they generally don't enjoy becoming the second most important guy in their own garage. So we like George Russell to win outright in Montreal. If you want me to keep going, we also have Max Verstappen. Yeah, we have Max Verstappen podium or top three. That's plus 110, plus 120 in the market. And we also have Max Verstappen over Oscar Piastri in the race head-to-head. The Red Bull program's really, really improving. They brought a huge upgrade package to Miami at the last race, and they look great. Max qualified second, and this track suits him well as well. And our model predicts Verstappen to finish 3.17, Piastri fifth. So both of those bets signify good value.
Okay. Formula One Canadian Grand Prix. By the way, do you have a favorite F1 race, Phil? Is there like one you look forward to above all?
I like Las Vegas, man. I'm very sorry to say, but I'm happy that it's in town for the next, 100 years.
All right. Well, Steve Fezzik will have something different to say about that coming up, I'm sure. All right. To the Indy 500. Let us go. I know our own Wes Reynolds always waxes poetic about the Indy 500 being an Indiana guy. Outright. Let's talk about some outrights. What do you have here? Different ways to play this.
Sure. Yeah, we have a couple different ways. But any IndyCar conversation starts with Alex Palou. The guy is incredible. He's got four straight championships. He's a defending Indy 500 winner, and he starts on the pole again on Sunday. So at this point, IndyCar is his own personal playground. But because he's been that dominant, his outright number is about plus 250. And that's important because what Palou is really doing is artificially propping up the entire Honda side of the market in the Chevy versus Honda. So if you remove Palou from that equation, Chevy just has so much depth and they start to look overwhelming. So the Chevys, they have Joseph Newgarden, Scott McLaughlin, David Malukas, Pato O'Ward, Rossi, Power, Connor Daly. They have so many bullets throughout the field. So if I could only make one bet on the Indy 500, it would be Chevy to win around minus 155.
But that did not stop you from a couple long shots. Who you got?
No, Gil, we're adults. We can make more than one
That's
bet.
Right.
So, yeah, we're going to go with Joseph Newgarden around 10-1. He's a two-time Indy 500 champ. He won at Nashville to close the year on an oval. He won the first oval race this year in Phoenix. So he's starting to look like old Joseph again. He qualified terribly. So now we get some value. We went from plus 550 to 10-1. So it's worth a look there. And then for the real degenerates, we like Christian Rasmussen as well, 30-1. He won Milwaukee last year. He led 69 laps at the Phoenix Oval, and he had a late incident with Will Power. He should have won that race. But the guy, he drives like he stole it. It's terrifying, and it's awesome to watch. So Christian Rasmussen, 30-1. I would also bet both of those guys top five, and I'd like Rasmussen top 10, plus 130.
Okay, so and again, the outrights, Chevrolet to win, minus 155, Joseph Newgarden, 10-1, Christian Rasmussen, 30-1, in addition to what Phil just said. To drink the milk, Kelly, to drink the milk.
That's right, that's right. Hey, Phil, which cars go faster, the Indy cars or the F1 cars?
Oh, I think it's the Indy cars because F1 just doesn't they don't race on ovals, so they can really let them rip the Indy cars. So the fastest speeds of the year you will see this weekend in Indianapolis. It's going to be around 230. Those guys, they're like little lunatic jet planes. It's insane to watch.
How are you going to step on my drink the milk bit here that I was about to do? Drinking the milk started in 1933.
Oh, sorry, man.
That's all right. Started in 1933. Lewis Meyer won the Indy 500 in 1933 because his mom used to tell him that milk is refreshing. And it is, of course, noteworthy because 71 years later, as we all know in the film Anchorman, the legend of Ron Burgundy, we were told that milk is not a good choice.
It was a bad choice.
That he did not have access to that movie back in 1933. But that's why they drink milk to this day. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Good history lesson there. All
You're
right.
You're very welcome. A couple matchups to close?
Sure. You know, just a couple quick things. We like Tyler Reddick over William Byron, minus 130 at DraftKings. Don't tell my wife, but we're taking Denny Hamlin over Kyle Larson, minus 150 on the score bet. Yeah, so that's got to stay right here between us, TV gang.
Okay. And we have on screen Christian Rasmussen over Helio Castroneves, minus 150.
Oh, yeah, for the Indy 500. Mm-hmm. Oh, yep, and Scott Dixon over Santino Ferrucci. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Okay. Castroneves is how old now?
Yeah, seriously.
51. Man. 51 years old.
Phil, thank you so much. Enjoy the races. Good luck with all the bets. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much, fellas.